All right. So, hello. Welcome back to The Process with Sade Marie. Today's topic is going to be about prayer. One of the things that I would like to get out in the podcast, what I'm really trying to do is to bridge that gap with the spiritual world, with Christ, and the practical world to make it come together so people can fully understand how the word can be lived out or applies to everyday practical life. So I'm just going to start by prayer, and then we'll just jump right in. Heavenly Father, I just thank you, Father God, for this opportunity, Father God, to just do what it is that you have called me to do for this podcast. God, I ask that you just put a hedge of protection around it, Father God, that you would bless it, Father God, that you would use it to be a blessing to others, Father God, that it will be healing, Father God, that it will be delivering, Father God, and that it will be enlightening and encouraging for those people that are seeking you, Father God. Lord Jesus, we just ask that you open their ears, open their eyes, Father God, sharpen their spiritual discernment, Father God, where they can receive, understand, Father God, everything that it is that you have used me as a vessel to put, call forth and put out, Father God, in Jesus Christ's mighty name, amen. So the scripture that I want to open up with that I am going to talk about today is Matthew 6:5, and it is prayer. So the scripture talks about, and when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like the pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Okay. So I went a little bit ahead, so this is how I want to break down prayer. So basically in this scripture, it's talking about how when we go before God, he already knows what it is that we need. So sometimes people believe that God doesn't quite understand the things that we are going through. I have had challenges with that, even in my deeper walk with God, and he had to help me with it. So sometimes when we want to talk to God, we go in with a mindset of God may not be able to answer what it is that I need. God may not understand what it is that I need. And sometimes we don't be honest about what it is that we're feeling or what it is that we're experiencing. So with this being said, the Lord is saying, come to me in the secret place. Don't just be like people that are hypocrites that just want to pray in front of people. Have a spiritual life that doesn't require other people to just look at what you do. What do you do behind closed doors? How do you live behind closed doors? It's not about religion. It's about relationship. So prayer is really a license for God to intervene in earthly affairs, right? So it's more so like, say you have a physical problem that's going on, but it's being held up by a spiritual problem. Kind of like with Daniel when he prayed. He fasted for 21 days, but the angel was on its way to deliver what it is that was intended from the spiritual realm to come into the earth realm. But he said that he was held up because he was fighting like in the prince with the Prince of Persia. So basically that is trying to explain to us that there is warfare going on in the spiritual realm. Okay, so that's just a biblical example of it. But let me give you more so of a physical example, because sometimes people be like, well, that's just the Bible. I don't really understand. So, you know, like sometimes you might meet like a person that really does walk with God or have a spiritual discernment or a prophetic life or whatever, right? And then sometimes back in the day, like a grandmother might say, oh, you pregnant. And a person might be like, I'm pregnant. Or they might say, oh, a baby is on the way, right? So the person may not be pregnant just yet. But in the spiritual realm, there is a pregnancy that's brewing that they're seeing. So basically, they're letting you know what's brewing in the spiritual realm and what's about to manifest in the physical. So that is a more practical example of how things navigate in the spiritual realm first, and then it manifests in the physical. So some people might be like, well, that doesn't really make sense. Okay. So if I'm operating in the spiritual realm and the Lord is communicating to me the legal way, the right way, my access is authorized, and he shows me something that's brewing in the spiritual realm, then it will manifest in the physical realm. So if God is showing me that a person is pregnant or a baby is coming on the way, and they are not pregnant yet, but the baby is coming maybe a few months down the line, and then you go give a prophetic word and you a declaration saying, oh, a baby is coming, you are speaking forth what it is that the Lord wants to do here on earth. So that is why we have to come into agreement with what the Lord is getting or saying to us so that it can truly manifest. And hence, that's where prayer comes in. Sometimes a prophetic word is conditional. It is if you do what it is that you're supposed to do, that it will manifest and be able to come in on this earth, because we are spiritual beings, although we're having a human experience. So I hope that that helps to explain. And you all can like send me emails or something like that if you have a question about something or need more clarity. I'm open to answering questions. So back to the part of prayer. The Lord is saying, when he says, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. You ever see somebody is just doing something for attention? It's not really like a genuine thing that they're doing. Like they have an ulterior motive. It's not because they are genuinely kind, or they are genuinely a loving person, or they're genuinely a person that wants to help you, or they're genuinely a person that wants to see you move forward in life or whatever the case is. But they may go out and they speak as if that is who they are. Sometimes we would describe those people as like wolves in sheep's clothing. So they present one way, but they are not that way. And they are not serious about the gospel. They're not serious about their relationship with God. They have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. So they go out and they pretend to be people of God, to be Christians, to love God, to love Jesus, but they don't live a life like that behind the scenes. And the Lord sees that. So when he says, but when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. So this part is physical, but it's also spiritual. The Lord is not saying that the only way that you can go is pray is to just pray in the closet and you have to physically shut the door. Is that a way that you absolutely can pray? Of course. But he's also saying, like, in this relationship that we have, in this communication that we have, talk to me, build relationship with me, have fellowship with me, communicate with me so that I can know that you are genuine about the things that you want and desire, even though he already knows. It's almost like a parent knows that their child is not doing something or is doing something, but they ask the question anyway because they want to see if they're going to tell the truth when they already know the truth. It's kind of like that. So you're building that relationship and you're letting God know, like, I genuinely seek you. I genuinely love you. I genuinely know that you hear me. I genuinely know that you see me. And even if I don't feel that way, I'm coming to you in spirit and in truth to say, help me, because I desire a stronger prayer life. I desire to be connected with you. I desire for you to intervene in earthly affairs and things that I may be going through, because I can't do it without you. And then he says, and when you pray, do not keep babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. So, you know, like, it might be a man of, that doesn't say much. And then you may have know a man that talks a whole lot. Basically, it's saying when you come before God, don't be deceived by people that have the gift of gab. Look and try to discern the spirit behind it. There are people that speak well, that like to communicate a whole lot. And then there are people that speak well, like to communicate, but they aren't being truthful, or they're kind of like scammy. You know, like people that are trying to scam, they talk a whole lot. They're trying to sell you something, but it's not really their job. But then you get a genuine person that's trying to sell you something, and they may talk a little bit more, but they may not talk as much as the person that's trying to scam you. Sometimes people will say, well, this person talked to me a little bit more. This person did this, so let me just go over here. But they didn't check or discern the spirit that was operating behind it. So this is where you got to look through things in your spiritual eye so that you can see what it is that God is trying to reveal to you, or be able to know what's real and what's not. It was this example that I heard at a conference, and it was just so profound. And it talked about where if you have a shirt and it's beige and you see it, you might think that it's a white shirt, but you don't know that it's not a white shirt until the white shirt is next to the beige shirt. That's how you be able to discern what is true and what's not true. Kind of like a counterfeit. And I'll do an episode about counterfeits and things like that in the future. But another example would be a cake. You see a cake and you put the ingredients there. Now, say you change one of those ingredients with sugar and salt, and then the cake is baked. You can tell the difference of the cake, no matter how it looks, because salt and sugar looks the same. So this is where he's saying, like, some people will come and they'll talk a lot, and they may look like they are the part. They may seem like they are the part. They may say the things that need to be said, but they're not really, really coming to him in spirit and in truth in their prayer life. And also when he says, do not be like them, the Lord is like cautioning us to say, hey, I know they're out here. They do it all the time. I see them. I see what they do. But you, beloved, you son, you daughter, don't be like them. Go a different route from them. And what else? What? It says, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. When we go before God, sometimes we ask God for certain things when we pray, and we want it to come or look a certain way, but it's not exactly what we need, right? Say you desire a car and you have your heart set on this specific car, and it's because it's a fleshly desire. And you can't discern that it's a fleshly desire. But the Lord knows that that's not the car that you need, because his plan for you is to have like a van. Because he knows that the position that he's going to put you in, or the family you're going to have, or whatever it is going to require a van down the line. But you are so stuck on this cool car or something like that. So basically, when we go to the Lord and we ask about certain things or we pray about certain things, even if certain things are not answered, we have to trust the Lord to know that He knows what we need. So I always recommend or suggest people to try to make sure that they are discerning what the Lord is saying about the stuff and ask Him, God, this is the desire of my heart, but what say you, God? What do you want from me? I desire to have this specific car for whatever reason, but I am open to what it is that you're saying because I'm human. You know what's best for me. And God will start to download things inside of you in your spirit to let you know what He wants to do. And then sometimes He might not do it like that. And He's just saying, look, this is a faith walk. This is blind faith. I just need you to trust me that I'm going to do exactly what it is that I said I'm going to do because I know what you need. I know the end of the thing before the beginning and the beginning before the end. So that's where our faith comes in, even in the midst of us praying. And then when He talks about this, then is how you pray. I think a lot of people know the Lord's Prayer when He said, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. This goes back to what I was trying to explain in the beginning, that when we pray, we are giving God a license to intervene with earth affairs. God, what you are doing in the earth realm, let it manifest in the physical realm so that we can do what we need to do here. We desire you. I went a little further than I wanted to go, but since I did, I'm just going to touch base on that because it talked about, for if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. It also goes on to say, but if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. So forgiveness is one of the absolute hardest things that people deal with, even when it comes to therapy. I think we all may struggle in different ways because sometimes you'll ask, like, how do you forgive someone that's not sorry? How do you forgive someone that continues to hurt people? How do you forgive someone that doesn't see any wrong in what they did or doesn't care about your feelings, your emotions, your well-being, and things like that? But the Lord is saying is we don't forgive for them. We forgive for ourselves because sometimes we don't know when or if we will be in a position where we need forgiveness. And forgiveness does not mean fellowship. You can forgive someone and let them go. What you are basically doing is saying that I don't want to live with the toxicity, with the poison, with the venom that unforgiveness holds in me. So I am going to just turn this over to God and lay it at His altar, at His feet for Him to deal with. And sometimes people believe that since someone has did them wrong, it is okay. It is not okay when someone has wronged you, especially in the eyes of the Lord. But the Lord is just saying, let Him deal with it. And please understand, vengeance is mine, says the Lord. There is no vengeance like the Lord. And I'm not wishing anything bad on anybody, but please hear me. There is no other way that you would want someone to reap what they sow outside of what God. All right. Sorry about that.
What are you, mommy?
You're welcome, sweetie. Okay. So what I was saying is when the Lord says, vengeance is mine, says the Lord, basically we have to understand that there is nothing that we could do or would do to someone that the Lord cannot do or won't do to reprimand them, correct them for what has been done or wronged in the sight of the Lord. And He sees everything. Sometimes people don't want to forgive because they feel like the person is getting away with it. And I'm just going to share this story. One time I met someone and the Lord put in my spirit that this person was really was having it really, really rough. But when I looked at the person, I saw the spirit of murder. And I went to the person and I'm just talking because I could just tell he was just like bogged down with grief. And he said to me, I have done things that I just don't know where my life will go. Like, I could just feel the weight spiritually. And I just said to him, I said, you've hurt, you know, you've killed someone before. And he said, yes. And he said, I am tortured with it every single day of my life. I can still smell his breath. And he wanted to die. And he had a terminal illness and just so many different things that was happening to him. But he was saying that the things that were happening to him were so severe, so hard to deal with that he wished he was dead, but he couldn't die yet. And I didn't know what exactly to say. I just heard him out and I just kind of listened to what he was saying. But these are the type of things that someone else in the family of the person that he did kill, and he did do time for it, may wish death on him. But he was saying that he wished death on himself, but for some reason he continues to live and have to deal with the consequences of his actions. And he was acknowledging that he knows that part of the suffering that he had endured on this earth is because of the choices that he had made. And we talked about the Lord, and I can't remember if we prayed or not, but it was just eye-opening, and it just lets you know that the word of God is true. And sometimes we don't always like the way things happen or play out in our lives, but the Lord says, whatsoever a man shall sow, he shall reap. So I say all that to say, forgiveness is important. And even though some people are not sorry for the things that they did, forgiveness does not mean fellowship. Forgiveness does not mean that we have to laugh and play. Forgiveness does not mean that you have to come to my house. Forgiveness does not mean I have to be in a relationship with you. Forgiveness does not mean that I have to have you around me. Forgiveness just simply means that I am letting go of the hurt that has happened. And God forbid if I were ever in a situation that I hurt someone to this magnitude or this degree, I would want to be forgiven too. So I guess that is pretty much it. I hope this helps. I went a little further and deeper than I planned to, but I also opened it up to the Holy Spirit to lead me where he wants me to go. So I'm just going to close out and thank you all for watching. I pray that this episode was healing, was enlightening. And for those of you who came to watch it, get what it is that the Lord has for you. In Jesus Christ's mighty name, amen.